I'm going first.
Okay. Just saying names.
Okay, sorry. My name is Beth Grabowski.
Jalia. Lakshmi Hummel.
Mark Katz.
Portland Duham.
So Jalia has to go right now, but she had a really cool, like,
yeah, I just operation. Had something quick to say. I would say the first thing that I noticed was that the questions were very intrusive, to the point where I was getting frustrated as a bystander. And me being an African-American diaspora studies major, I tend to relate a lot of things to things that I see on a day-to-day basis. Historically, with the slave markets, auction blocks, they were intrusive in themselves, sort of like these questions were. But while the questions were intrusive in a personal life manner, I mean, it's obviously different than a physical intrusion, but still, with that intrusion, I feel like is dehumanization. And so, yeah, that's the main thing that I saw that was very interesting to me.
Thank you for coming. So, who wants to start?
Oh, I think we should debrief the thing first.
Well, she said that we should look at the cards, and I mean, we could do that too. But I actually have to go in a little bit. It's right, my right.
Okay. Oh, these are about the thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Should we read them out?
Yeah.
I think we just pick.
Are there questions in the citizenship interrogation that you would have lied about?
Hell yeah.
Which ones? Which ones, it says.
I don't know. I mean, like,
I might have
just
lied.
The way that they were worded was really aggressive.
I might have lied about the drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in the 60s, so what does inhale mean? How did he say that?
Well, some of the questions were so vague that it would be safer just to say no. You know, have you been associated with?
Yeah.
And that could mean anything. So I would have lied.
Lied purposefully or lied by just omission because you couldn't remember?
Well, probably both. I don't know. The hard thing for me is the would you fight? Would you take arms? Mm-hmm. Because I'm inclined to say no, but I don't know if it came to it whether I'd actually be a pacifist and refuse.
Well, and then the oath you have to read out and affirm at the end says that you'll
says you would.
Protect the United States or the America. So that's hard, but I was thinking about that one too. I would probably have said yes, that I would serve in a civilian capacity, because that could be like being a nurse or teaching students or caring for people. So I probably would have said yes to that.
Amazing. I know. You want to pick someone? Pick one. I need to get something more quickly.
Get a random one. What does U.S. citizenship mean at this moment? What could it possibly mean?
Bias, like to whom? I would say, does it mean a whole lot? In the sense of, like, other than, like, you living here, benefiting from, you know, being a citizen of this country, so tax benefits, you know, benefits of the government and stuff like that. But I would say, outside of that, in the way that the interview questions were set up, I don't think it means all that, you know, the author of those interview questions, you know, meant for it to mean. Like, you don't have to be this pure person who doesn't do drugs or who hasn't seen the world and visited certain countries, even countries with Sharia law. You don't have to meet those requirements or criteria to be a citizen or to be loyal to this country, whatever.
I still think it means a certain amount of privilege.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's so many countries that I've flown into where Americans just kind of walk through the immigration line and everybody else is questioned and stalled, and people with American passports tend to fly through things, but I don't know how or if that's changed with the current administration. I would say American citizenship to me right now means embarrassment. I mean, I have so many friends that are not American that are, you know, look over here and say, I'm so sorry for you. Yeah, but that's coming from a very liberal perspective.
That's
so
real.
But I think that's,
yeah, no, that's, yeah, that's really real. Really real. But I would say when it was one question that was asking about allegiance to America, like to the country and things like that. And I feel like if you were to ask any person that's, you know, a natural born citizen, those type of questions, you know, somebody might, like me, might be on the fence a little bit, like, you know, America's a great country, but you know, I don't know about that whole,
we have
you know,
issues.
Right, for sure. Like everyone everywhere else does, but I don't know, just kind of having to come in with a blind faith and like devotion to being an American citizen.
Yeah, it's hard when you are born a citizen to realize all the privilege that comes with that. You just take it for granted, and like there are people who are just dying to be here and to have what we have, and you know, sometimes we can't even wrap our heads around that. And people who are leaving situations that are just far worse than things that we're upset about here, you know.
Right. Like I remember when some friends of mine came from China, and they looked at just walking into an American grocery store, just not anything even special. They were just wide-eyed at how much was on the shelves and how much choice we had in terms of the way we lived our lives. And even the fact that we can say things out loud that are against the government and not be arrested for it. We do take that kind of stuff for granted.
Yes.
Actually, when they asked the question about how have you exercised your
right to democracy?
Yeah, I wanted to say, I've exercised my freedom of speech.
Right, every day.
to resist, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I felt like some of the questions were contradictory or hypocritical of things that the government does, you know, like violence against people. I'm like, y'all do that shit and you don't want me, like you're gonna discriminate against me if I did it in my past, you know, and serve my time or whatever, you know, like like they are just not the pillars of morality.
Right. What else? If wronged once, then like you're damned. You know what I mean? Like, if you answer in the affirmative to any of those like negatively framed questions,
no second chance.
Then you don't really have a
second chance. That's sort of what we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, if you are really wanting to stay in this country, then like you're gonna lie to stuff, or. But you also don't know if they have a file on you. They look back through your history and know if you're lying.
Well, and if anybody was wanting to get in for sinister reasons, they would fly their way through that kind of thing, even if they didn't have, you know, if you didn't have a file.
Yeah.
I mean, what does the questionnaire really prove? Does it prove anything?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It makes me wonder if, I mean, it did suggest that with the first one that the what's that?
Oh, sorry.
Sure.
You have to say your name.
Oh yes, yeah, so we have to say your name.
Oh, you do.
Yes, yeah, so it can be transcribed.
Oh, perfect. Okay, Laura Duque. Carolina Duque.
Oh, I was just saying that my sense was that they had already decided whether they're going to let people in or not.
Right.
That what you say could probably only hurt you.
Very good point. Right. I think brevity is for the best in this situation. Because as I was listening to, you know, the interviews, they would like start with like maybe, I think, and then like elaborate and possibly say some like incriminating things or things that would get them further from the answer.
It's interesting though that the presumption is that the government is suspicious
up to something.
Yeah.
Right.
That we aren't just on bad folks, right. You know. So. Mm-hmm.
Should we pick another?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
so.
I'm
how have you been affected by the Muslim ban? Or I guess it should be the proposed Muslim ban.
Oh, I've had students come cry in my office. Mm.
What are their concerns?
Just being afraid mostly for their family and being afraid to be, well, they one had a child who was harassed on the school bus. Oh. Go back where you came from. And they were American, actually. So that kind of normalizing of hate. Mm-hmm. In our country has been the most egregious effect of that, I think.
Hasn't affected me directly because I'm not coming from another country, I'm not Muslim, but I was just in Algeria and Tunisia, and right after it was proposed, and I talked to a lot of people about this, and they said, no. It was interesting. They said, we love America, but what's wrong with Trump? your president is crazy and you can't do this. It doesn't make sense. It's offensive. So it was mortifying to be associated with this country.
I mean, it just certainly makes you angry on a daily basis, yeah. The hypocrisy of it all.
Yeah, and that's been interesting for me since all this has come up is that I feel like I've been embarrassed and critical of this country and some of the ideology it espouses for like a long time. And so for a lot of, there's like a lot of newness, or at least like the discussion has like reemerged in like a fresh way, I guess, where people are becoming embarrassed. But I'm like, I don't know what this says about me as like a citizen, but like I've never been like super ecstatic about, I definitely recognize my privilege, and like this whole answer is steeped in privilege. But you know, I've been critical of this country in the way that it's treated, particularly my people, for centuries. And so, I think with this Muslim ban, if anything, how it's affected me is it's allowed me to kind of, I guess, I don't know how to say this. It's affirmed some certain things within me, but then also it's expanded. My thinking about the different ways that this country oppresses like a lot of people, and not just particularly, you know, not just particularly among racial lines, but like how that's conflated with religion and just being like a predominantly, I guess, Protestant, or this country comes with Protestant background, and how that's like conflated with, I guess, European ancestry, I guess, or with colonialism, and how that's like kind of had an impact on its stance against Islam and Muslim and people of the Muslim faith, Islamic faith.
I'm hearing it in what you're saying that it's part of it is like this newly expressed embarrassment frustration. Yeah. It's like, where the hell have y'all been?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. My ride is here, sorry.
We're talking to you.
No, I get that. I mean, living on a university campus, you can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think most people on this campus are there, like where have y'all been kind of situation. But it is frustrating. It's like we're blind. We've been sold this story of America's greatness and all the stuff that we've done, and then we are faced with this kind of craziness right now, and yet it's been there all along. Mm-hmm. I was just listening to a podcast about the Trail of Tears. It's like, okay, there was major sin.
I'm not sure. about this particular question.
How'd you feel bigger in an interview? Or
It was really interesting because I mean I've been on the other side, so it just like this whole persona like took over. And I kind of like saw it as a way for me to, I was thinking about all the times that like I've had to talk to immigration officers. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to recreate that experience. Mm-hmm. But now I'm just like still like processing it all, right, because I mean, I that's not me, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like, oh my god, I need to go apologize, you know, because the way the questions were set up, mm-hmm, also gave you so much power. Like, mm-hmm, I found myself like slipping into that pattern. Mm-hmm.
Watching you made me think of those psychology experiences where they separate people and they make some people the guards and some people, right, the prisoners, right, and mm-hmm, that sense of power just, mm-hmm, really started. I mean, you take on that identity no matter where you,
yes,
started before.
Like the, you know, what's that famous experiment?
Yeah, yeah. You like to think, I would never do that, but you know, we do. We
yeah,
take advantage of whatever power is given to us, right?
Yeah, and I was just telling her that I feel like now I know so much about, I mean, we all do. And it's like, I wonder what these people do with, like, after you are telling them all everything. Like, you, it's so, it's just so intimidating. And they don't respond because, I mean, when I've been there, it's like, so I was telling her that, recently I was invited to the White House as part of a group of people like for national HIV recognition awareness,
yeah,
day, and it was because I volunteer for this organization and they just invited the volunteers, and I didn't know that if you are a permanent resident, which I am, I'm gonna have to go to, I'm through this sometime. But if you're a permanent resident and not a citizen, you get, it's basically like they give you different tags. So all the citizens get green tags, and all the non-citizens get pink tags. So you stand out. With everyone.
Caution.
Yeah. And so I went with two other UNC students, and they were both citizens, and then all of a sudden they stopped me because they saw that I noticed that something was wrong because they gave me a pink one, and I was like, well, that's probably because I'm a permanent resident, that makes sense. And then they stopped me and they were like, all of you can go except for you. And I was like, okay, but why? I was like, I can't tell you, you should know why. And I was like, excuse me, I'm just here like with Advocates for Youth, or like a
I was
nonprofit.
Invited.
Yeah. And they were like, who is your contact at the White House? I'm like, I'm with Advocates for Youth, like this is my invitation, they were like, no, just the guy was super rude, just super mean, and would not let me, like, when she was asking me, like, what does that mean? I did exactly what he did to me in that situation. I don't know, you should know. Like, I can't say, you know? And it was just intimidating. And I was like, well, I wanted to cry. I was just like, all my friends were inside, and this was supposed to be such an amazing day. And it was just humiliating. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know what to do. And he just kept asking me, what's your contact at the White House? And I was like, I'm with this organization. No, someone, do you know someone within the White House? And I was like, I don't, like, I'm here with a group.
Yeah.
And then I eventually told him, like, I asked him if I could take out my phone to see, like, if there was anything, like, from the email that I got, the information. And he let me do that, thankfully. Otherwise, I don't know what I would have done. I think I would have just, like, asked to leave, and I don't know, like, what I would have done, because all my friends were inside, and,
mm-hmm,
and, yeah, and so then I called the person, and, like, they were like, oh, it must have been that, like, you're, they missed out, they messed up your information or something. And so the guy made me, like, on the phone, he made me, like, go over, like, all my information, like, my social security number, like, my name, my full name, like, where I was born and everything. And the guard stood there listening to me talking on the phone. And then I was like, okay, they just sent the application back. And he was like, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, like, what was your point of contact? We already have your information inside. You just need to be escorted by someone. So he, like, he tricked me into doing all this, and he watched me, like, talk to the person. And so I had to call the person again, and finally, like, oh, that's what you need. Okay, we'll have someone come and get
that
you.
That has been being helpful.
Right.
Yeah. And then the guy took like 30 minutes to come. So I was there waiting with this guy in a tiny room alone. Yeah. And so it was just it was such a traumatic experience. And then finally the guy came, and it was like the guy that was like leading the whole entire session that we were part of. And he escorted me into the room that we were in. And he was like, I'm technically supposed to stand next to you at all times, but I'm not going to do that because no one's here to check on that. And he was like, but you're not allowed to like leave the room alone. So I was like, okay. And yeah, he apologized because he didn't think that the reason why the whole mix-up happened was because they didn't know that there were going to be non-citizens at the event. They just assumed everyone was going to be a citizen.
Yeah. Well, you'd think that they would be able to send a memo.
Yeah, if they had all your information.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And I sent them my information. They should have told me. Like, they didn't tell me. And so that just ruined the whole experience. And I wanted to enjoy it so badly, but I just felt like I didn't feel welcomed. Yeah, no. And, like, the pictures.
Even, like, the surveillance. I feel you felt like, you know, he had his eye on you. Like, the guy had to stay in the room, even though he didn't. But
sorry, I just, like, sorry to take so long.
No, yeah.
Why is a non-permanent resident a threat? You've already been vetted. You had to fill out so many paperwork, pay so many fees. You know, all this stuff to be able to be a non-permanent resident, mm-hmm. more so than a citizen.
Right.
Like, why are they
Well, yeah, and you think of the violence that's done in this country, the incidence of violence by citizens mm-hmm. is astronomical.
Right.
More than that of anybody from the outside.
Right.
Yeah. Every time the protesters start talking about, you know, whatever most recent thing that has a Muslim name attached to it, I just want to say, okay, Dylann Roof.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's like.
Yeah, we're always looking externally for like threat and
right, but the,
violence.
I mean, just the list of gun, you know, all the school shootings, everything else. All,
right.
I mean, the list is so much longer,
right. Yeah.
And yet that doesn't surface as the.
And that's not considered terrorism.
Right.
Like, it has to be done by a person of color in order to be considered terrorism. It's just frustrating, and yeah, like you were saying, like, where have people been? Like, people are now complaining about it. Like, this has been going on for forever, so.
This is a long one. GEO Group, did anybody else have anything? I didn't want to jump in. GEO Group, a for-profit prison that operates many ICE detention centers, is under investigation for violating U.S. anti-slavery laws by forcing detained immigrants to work as unpaid prison laborers.
Right.
So,
I mean,
that's not
modern day slavery.
Right.
We are third in the world behind Somalia and North Korea in terms of per capita incarceration.
Yeah.
It's a great company, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that, I mean, if you're in jail, that's your punishment. To have forced labor on top of that.
Right.
Yeah, and actually there was an art project that somebody did recently where they commissioned all the pieces of their project that they were doing by the prison labor just as a way to make it visible.
Mm-hmm.
It was controversial because people were I'm forgetting the artist's name. It's controversial though, because people were saying, well, you're exploiting this labor for your art practice, and that's, you know, that's not, not quite right. It's not solving any problem there, because you're just part of the system.
Sure.
I mean, that kind of conflicted relationship to the bad stuff in our country. I mean, we're all complicit in some way, right? But where you draw your own personal lines, I guess that's a question.
And I feel like that's something that you do see a lot, is people who are under this label of being criminals, or also with immigrants being illegal, being outside of the law, how that's like a precondition that justifies like inhumane treatment. And I think that that's like one of the biggest problems, that people who just commit like maybe a petty crime or make a mistake, and there's just no way to come back from that. Like, once you're labeled, it's like no one sees any issue with the way that you're treated.
I mean, yeah. And definitely that changes depending upon your demographics too, you know,
for sure.
Second chances are, and third chances and fifth chances and are, you know, you can buy those if you have the means, or the right skin color. If you're at all outside the mythical norm.
Yeah. I think one of the questions from the interview was like, I don't know, it was something like, I think it was when you were interviewing, it was something about like, one of the questions we were asking something about like, what practice of, you know, of government, or what practice of this country, like, you disagree with or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that was a question. And in my mind, I was like, the death penalty. I was like, it's a pretty like big one in this country that, you know, a lot of people even, you know, even Hillary Clinton, when she was campaigning, she wouldn't cross that line, you know what I mean? And that just goes to your point about, you know, whether you've committed a petty crime, or even if you are guilty of something like murder, you're not redeemable, or you're not valid or have value as a person. Still, even a person who's done something egregious, you still have no value as a person.
Yeah.
And that's like pretty sadly fundamentally like tied to like this country. And
it seems to me that the crimes of economic crimes are not seen as egregious as other kinds of crimes,
right?
But they're equally, if not more, damaging to the people they affect.
Administration's response to the Muslim ban on Muslim resources for the
This one! I have a lot to say about this.
Go ahead.
Oh my goodness. I'm just really disappointed. When Chancellor Folt sent out that email, there was a focus on addressing international students, and I was like, what about students that grew up here their whole lives who are undocumented, you know, who are out-of-state students or in-state students? I mean, I'm an in-state student, but I'm an immigrant. I'm not an international student.
Yeah.
It was almost like, only those who are here legally get to have support. And even then, what she said was so vague. And it just
word.
And then she addressed the whole, did you see how she addressed another issue? The issue of like the poster that was saying that we should kill
Trump supporters. Yeah. Yeah. And,
she went all in on that.
Yeah. It's like a very emotional response.
Yeah. And I would say, as a Black student here, I know last year when she allowed
KKK members to come and protest on campus. The email that was sent out that morning was right to protest, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We are accepting of all viewpoints. And I know being a part of the Black student movement, we had a time with that because we were like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Like, we are students here.
Yeah.
And you allow these people to come here on our campus and have Confederate flags and, you know, like, kind of protest and yell their beliefs at us. And it was just, like, you know, like a slap in the face. So I definitely can attest, because when she sent that statement about the Muslim ban, like I said, I felt it was very lackluster. We could have done without that. Thank you.
There were so many other administrators around the country who had really righteous, you know, resistance to that and say, we don't believe this. It's not our values. We're, you know, whatever. And to not come out with that kind of comment really strongly, just, yeah, it was very frustrating.
It shows who's in power here.
Well, I read that a lot from, you know, timid administrations. It's a little CYA, you know, it's just whatever you need to do to not bring more scrutiny to you. But what the hell, we're here. It's right. Like, bring it on. Let's just, that's what we're here for. Talk it out.
At the end of the day, like, your job is to make sure that everybody feels welcome on campus and to create a welcoming environment for everyone.
But even to talk about it and to, you know, we can take it on. We can have civil conversations about things, but we can have heated and protest kinds of conversations. And, you know, there's a certain value of the liberal arts institution that UNC, you know, UNC's mission statement is actually quite noble, and we don't live up to that. I mean, it's kind of like those questions about the government in general. We don't live up to the promise of our ideal.
Right. Thanks.
Okay, bye, Julia. I'm gonna have to go soon myself too.
It's really cold.
The weather's about to end.
We're all shivering.
Thanks for a great conversation.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Did you write about it or complain to the White House or anything?
No, because I mean, I'm scared to do that.
Was it
just because if I do want to become a citizen?
This administration?
No, it was with Obama. Actually,
But I wouldn't do it now.
And actually, I mean, we just became permanent residents, so. It just, like, when I heard about this, I was like, I need to get involved. I mean, they reached out to me because I'm with the committee of the Campus Y, like SUI. I don't know if you know, Students United for Immigrant Equality. And when I heard about this, I was like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. And I want to be a part of it. And then it was like, for me to be on the other side was interesting.
You know, that idea of who can say what, it's, I mean, as a white person, I sometimes struggle with what my role is, and, you know, I want to be an ally, but I want to be somebody who can operate. It's a fine line, you know. I want to operate in a space that's respectful of everybody I feel like I want to support, but I want to overstep my bounds. But just in situations like that, when somebody is vulnerable without speaking for you or for anybody else, I want to be part of the voice that says this is wrong. So it's an interesting kind of conundrum for, you know, it's the position that I occupy that I struggle with. But it's an interesting problem.
Well, I'm just glad for opportunities like this where I am able to share my perspective. I don't get to do that as often, so I feel like this is weird for me. Like, I feel like I'm overstepping boundaries.
No, not at all.
This is your space.
Absolutely.
And I think that story, like, elevates the whole purpose of this discussion. It's one thing to have people who are not directly impacted or people who've only seen it